Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 188, part 1, From Nothing to All Things. Today is Friday, February 25th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call the comment line. That number is 1-877-489-0922, and the local number is 612-208-0916. Scripture links within the message are in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. For the month of February, these are the messages: battles, division, nothing, from nothing to all things. Have a great month of February. We'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, From Nothing to All Things. Before we enter into Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's again go back and visit David in Psalm 119, 28 and 29. It says like this, My soul melteth away for heaviness. I looked at that and I thought, wow, I've been in that situation. Here he was dissolving away in tears. And you read David, and he says, I wet my couch down. I floated out of my room on tears. But you see, the solid strength of his constitution was turning liquid, as if molten, by the furnace of his very own and the heat of his own afflictions. Because that heaviness of heart is a killing thing. Heaviness of heart, it can kill you. And I believe there are those that will be listening to me today, sitting here, listening on the radio or to a tape, that will agree that heaviness of heart is a killing thing, even with little people, little kids. And I believe you listening out there, some of us know what great heaviness means because we have suffered it again and again. And we have often felt ourselves to be poured out as water is poured out on the ground and splatters and splits, never to be put back into the pitcher again. In that shape or that form or that situation. But one good point, I thought, to this is that in our downcast state, it is better to be melted down and molded and humbled by the Lord with grief than to be hardened by impenitence. It's better to be melted and molded and shaped, and it's better to get into that fiery furnace of affliction and to be humbled than become hard, to become bitter, and to have your own way, no matter what the cost. And then, like our Friday night message, we will truly find out that without me, like Jesus said, ye can do nothing. And that's when we come to know that, is through that terrible thing that you might be going through right now. So then, verse 29 of Psalm 119 brings this home to us. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. He has found the secret. Now listen to me. Don't get wandering off into somewhere. You listening on the radio, don't want to lay down your Frito-Lay potato chips. He has found out the secret of leaving depression. How many want to know the secret of leaving depression? You don't want to know it? Put your hand up. You want to know it. It's important. And he finds out that his hope lies not in himself, but in his God. Now, that's where we fail. If you introvert yourself, if you're stuck in yourself, if you're depending on a person, you're always going to be let down. But anyway, on this couch of tears, he finds out, in this depressed state, his hope lies not in himself, but in his God. Now, you're all going to wake up with that kind of a feeling once in a while, and, oh, man, I don't know why I feel this way. You'll probably be singing that old song, feelings, feelings like I never had before, huh? If he may be strengthened from on high, he thinks, and he is, and yet shake off his heaviness and rise in joy again. See, it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. Now, you're feeling kind of weak? Well, you got to have the strength of God. That's what you need. But anyway, he goes on and he pleads the promise. And we all need to resort to prayer in heavy times. I say resort because that's the only time people pray. And they're having a hard time. God, help me. But anyway, he pleads the promise, and David finds out that God's grace is sufficient. Now, and I can honestly tell you this. As far as I have gone in my walk, and I know I'm not going to say there, you know, what can happen to me now, because something else will happen, and that's the way it is in the world. And in Christianity, there's always trials. How boring it would be if there were none. But anyway, David finds out, and I believe this, I know it inwardly in my heart, I know it in my spirit, that God's grace is sufficient. The Bible tells us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put on Jesus Christ for the spirit of heaviness. Well, what do you do when you put on Jesus? You get up and you do the works of the Lord. Did you have fun out there yesterday? And maybe you came, you probably didn't feel exactly like doing that. Maybe you did, I don't know, I'm just saying. But we always don't, but as we get into the Lord, we put on that garment. You put on a garment of God is a garment of doing. And as you put on that garment, that spiritual garment of doing, God can bless it. Now, you don't go ahead and do it by yourself. You put on the garment of praise, you put on Jesus Christ, and then you wait upon the Lord, and the Lord will bring someone to you, and then you start ministering to that person's need, and your depression leaves. Well, where did it go? It got lost. God took it. He took your mind off of yourself, and you put it on someone else. And so we must turn to Jesus, the lifter up of our soul. There's so much talk of the flesh. There's so much talk of prosperity, and there's so much talk of getting. See, it's the gospel of give. It's not the gospel of get. Isn't it? It's the gospel of give. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the gospel of give from the beginning and end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that will bring it all into view. But anyway, through this humbling, we find, without me, ye can do nothing. Know how important it is for us to become soul conscious. Now the Bible does say this. I wish above all things that your soul would prosper, that you be in good health, and that your soul would prosper. Now you can have everything. And if your soul isn't at peace with God, you have nothing. If there's confusion in your spirit, you have nothing. And so we become soul conscious like David. Get your mind off your flesh. Start to get into that soul guidance of the Holy Ghost. Look what he says in verse 20. My soul breaketh. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Verse 109, my soul is continually in my hand. And verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. What God has said to be true in the promises, I'll go ahead and I'll try those testimonies out. I'll test those testimonies. No, I thought how we need to become soul conscious instead of flesh conscious. So many things are done in the flesh. Well, I am upset. Bam, out the door. Well, I am this, I am that. Well, I have a right. And there's all these rights movements going on. They even got a song, I have a right to sing the blues. You ever heard that one? I have a right to sing the blues. And then three or four people over there, ooh, huh? Down around the river, ooh, huh? Well, do you? And so anyway, getting on in our last message, which was taken from John 14 and 5, without me, you can do nothing. We found out that it is the truth. You can do nothing without the Lord. There'll be no happiness in it. It is true of his saints in matters relating to themselves, we found out Friday night. It is also true of the unregenerate man, and it's true when we lead people to Jesus Christ. We cannot lead anybody except they are led by the Holy Ghost. And so today, let's go on in Philippians 4 and 13. What a switch. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, some only use half of that sentence. I can do all things. There are many people that are puffed up in their own vanity, and there is just their destruction is for sure going to happen to them. Look at Nebuchadnezzar walking through the great city. He's walking through. He has this little crown on his head, you know, these gold leaf crowns, and he has these grapes, and he's popping them into his big fat mouth. And he says, look what I have accomplished. Babylon, created by me, I can do all things. And just a few hours later, he can do nothing. He's on all fours eating grass, and his hair is growing long, and he says he has nails like birds' claws. And I started to think about Napoleon, arrogant. I can do all things. He shakes his fist at the world, and he ends up in prison. There we have Hitler, filled with the spirit of self. Raises up his arm of flesh towards the sky and says, Sieg Heil! Thousands and millions follow after him, saying, I can do all things. We are the master flesh. Isn't that what it's coming to right now? As we start to compete, as we start to, and even in the church, now arms races. We are the master race. We are the master flesh. And so it's crept into the church. Zig flesh. Then I thought, what shall we later say of Saul? Of course, who was Paul? Who is little of stature, stammering, it says, in speech. It also says that his personal presence is weak. His speech, they called it contemptible. And yet, when he comes forward and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He did it. When he said it on his own, I can do all things by himself, he was knocked off his high horse. But later he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And he says this boldly to his persecutors. That's where you're all going to have to come to, you listening on the radio, this tape, people sitting in here today. You're going to have to come to that realization that you can do all things well through Christ who will give you the grace, who Christ will give you the strength to go through. Because like Paul, when he said these words, he meant them. He had already proved the strength of which he now asserts the promise, I can do all things well through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You ever thought about the varied and the trials and how many achievements Paul made? Paul called by grace in one moment. Do you remember when you were called? It happened it happened over a period of time. But all of a sudden you found yourself called in by the Spirit of grace. I was standing in California and was called in. Standing in a church, called in and singled out and spoken to. And that's why I'm up here today. Otherwise, I'd still be in business. I'd still be out there doing the thing. But I was called in from, about the seventh row back, maybe over about where you are, Marty, in the church in California. Called in by grace in one moment. You know what he did? He went out and he wandered, Paul did, in the desert of Arabia until he more fully understood the Word of God. Didn't he come out to be a real man of God after he'd gone through that, after he'd gone through his desert situation? Maybe you're going through a desert situation right now. Well, keep on going. You want to sit out there and fry? But Paul describes himself, and I think many times we should look in the mirror and describe now, just what do you look like? Get a mirror out and take a look at what you look like. Huh? Do you ever wonder what you look like to other people? Is your face a witness? Think about that. And describe yourself. Here Paul describes himself in labors more abundant. More labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure, he couldn't count them all. In prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, swimming around in the dark, in journeying often, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. Now, can you be in perils of your own countrymen? That's the worst kind of perils there are. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. I mean, he was peril city. You ever see that strip, The Perils of Pauline? Well, here's the perils of Paul. Perils, perils everywhere, no matter where he went. He was in peril. His life was in peril. In perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren. Are there false brethren? Oh, come on. What is the false brethren? Well, the false brethren is somebody that's false. Somebody that looks true that's false. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness. Wow. Are you feeling a little bit better? I certainly hope so. Are you? You haven't begun to live until you find out that you can do nothing without me. But that, on the other hand, you can do all things well through Christ which strengtheneth you. So now we go on in the message. We start to graduate in doing things in God. Now that we know we can do nothing in God, we know we can do everything through Him. And he goes on, those things that are without, that which come upon me daily. The care of all the churches. He was in care of all the churches. Later on, he even said, well, by what authority do you come here? And he taught these people. He nurtured these people. He brought them in. He saw them saved. He helped them start their church. And later on, he went back, and they were so highly organized, and they had been into so many faith teachings and so many prosperity teachings, and they were so knowledgeable and so increased in gods that they needed nothing, and they didn't know that they were wretched and poor and miserable and needed of everything. And they asked him this question. They said, by what authority do you come here? He started all these things. Who gave you the authority? Oh, I thought this is beautiful. Isn't it? Indeed, Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So I think we're going to have to look at three things today about this text. Number one, the measure of it. Number two, then the manner of it. And thirdly, let's call it the message of it. And so the measure of it. Of course, I can't mention all the things. It's too broad. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We'd have lists that would, you know, go around the building a million times. But please notice here that Paul here meant that he could endure all trials. That's the secret to enduring all trials. See, what is a trial? A trial is getting out of bed in the morning, so everything is a trial. A trial is getting your hair, girls, to look just the way you like it and getting the proper hairdresser. That's a trial. So there's all, I'm just trying to simplify this so you understand that your whole life is trials. Can't find your toothbrush. Or the husband squeezes it in the middle of the tube. Or used your wash rag. Or you can't find your bedroom slippers. Good, I hope you never find them. But what I'm trying to point out here is that there are trials. The car won't start, flat tire. Boils over. Got to add water to it all the time. Motorcycle won't start. You're kicking on it until your leg partner falls off. There are trials. Now, I'm just talking about everyday trials, so you know that your whole life is a trial. Moving one leg ahead of the other. Of course, that's more trials for some people than it is others. Moving one leg ahead of the other, that's a trial. Now you can see people that are in real trials, they can barely move. They're going through a trial. And so what I got to get you into, so that you'll leave yourself, is that life is a trial. You're on trial right now. But Paul here says, I can endure all trials, no matter what sufferings. No matter what sufferings, let's say, his persecutors might put on him. He thought that through divine grace, he could bear it. Now, sometimes we think that people are putting things on us because they don't talk to us nicely. That's no trial. Did you hear the way they talked to me? They didn't receive what I had for them. It was a direct revelation from God. And so we get wiped out. What's that got to do with it? I'm talking about a trial. I'm talking about being beat. Paul, who had known almost all the Roman prisons, and he knew how Nero could torture the Christians like no one else, with the rack and with beatings, covered with pitch and burned at festivals. None of these things could cause his faith to fail. I can endure all things. I can do all things well through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he says, for Christ's sake, I can endure all things. Expecting death daily is worse than death, isn't it? Every day he had to look forward that someone might recognize him and slam a pile of stones at him, or beat him, or spit upon him. And to fear death is to die a thousand. But yet, Paul could cry out, I die daily. And I think we can all say that. I can suffer all things. If martyrdom should return, and I think there's a lot of living martyrs, I think that sometimes it's a mercy killing, but there's a lot of martyrs that they're martyred out while they're alive. They're burned alive. They keep living. They burn them just enough so they don't die. But I think there's a time coming when many martyrs are going to be offered up for the truth. Can you do all things well through Christ which strengtheneth you? Well, maybe God is preparing some people right now for that. Maybe you are going through something that's a real hard thing for you, and maybe you out there, preachers, going through something out there, and I hear them on the radio all the time. Well, we're falling behind $10 million this year. Well, can you do all things well through Christ which strengtheneth you? No. Be of good courage. We can suffer all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. And Paul also meant he can do all of his duties. He was called to preach. And what's your duties? Think about this while I'm talking about Paul. It meant that he could do all of his duties. He was called to preach. He was called to rule and to govern the churches. He was also called as an overlooker. And he did it all through the strength of Christ. Well, how do you ever continue on doing these things, Pastor so-and-so? By the grace of God. And don't lay down and say, I'm bound up to some sin I can't shake off. I can't change. I have sown so much but reaped so little. I have thrown seed by the handfuls, but only a few here and there have I gathered. Don't say that. Because the Lord says, enough excuses. Get up, get going, get doing. And I think our reply must be, yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, send me. And everybody isn't going to agree with your particular brand, let's say, your particular brand of ministry. But you know the call, and you know what you have to do, and you know you have to go on. And you can do all things well through Christ who strengthens me. And then, of course, as the master appoints you to a task, you are made able. Now, I think you've heard this from the pulpit before, but I was made willing in the day of his power. I am willing to stay here. I've been made that way, just like I have brown eyes. I can't change them. Huh? I have been made willing, and now that I've been made willing, God has made me able. Do you think God is able to make you able? He's able. Whether it be a small task or whether it be a large one, without Christ, you can do nothing. But with Christ, you can do all things. Now, what do you mean small things? Well, you can send a person, can you clean the bathroom? Oh, that's easy. I can do it. And they go in, you give them all the tools. You give them the toilet brush. You give them the under-the-lip spray. You give them a... you give them everything. You get the nozzle that turns up on the end that costs $5 a bottle, you know what I mean? And you give them all these tools, and you say, go in and clean. Oh, I can, that's nothing. Anybody can clean a bathroom. Is that right? Not those that do it on their own power. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. And incidentally, one task is never less. When you go to heaven, you're going to be rewarded according to your obedience, not your station down here, because then it would be you. Now hear what I said there. Whether you are preaching, whether you are the evangelist that's led millions to the Lord, or you are a person that's cleaning toilet bowls, the way you clean those toilet bowls and the way you are obedient to your task is how you're going to be judged. Not according to sin. I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about where you're going to be in heaven. Were you obedient and did you go on without complaining and did you do a good job? Now, and I say, one task is not above the other. God is no respecter of persons. Maybe you drove the hobo bus and maybe another person was evangelizing, went all over the country. Maybe he's on TV and radio and everything else. But when you get to heaven, you're going to be judged according to the way you obeyed the command, clean those toilet bowls or go on out there and minister. That's what's going to happen. And there's going to be a lot of people out there that thought they were last that are going to be first. And some that thought they were going to be first are going to be last. And it says, don't run up to the dinner table and run up there. Oh, it's me. Oh, yes. Hi, I knew that I'm first. Huh? No, go back to the end of the table. Mr. Toilet Brush is first. Why? He was obedient. It's a little harder to be more obedient to a toilet bowl than it is fame. Is that right? You ever wonder about that? See, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And if you're doing it with the strength of the Lord, God is watching and God will judge. Are you laying up in the rack until 12 o'clock every day? Sluggarding it out? Will you go to hell? No. If you're saved, you go to heaven with a mattress wrapped around you, like a hot dog. It'll be kind of embarrassing for you, 2 feet sticking out, arms sticking out of the top, and a big ropes around it. Walking in there like Oscar Mayer Wiener, huh? What was your ministry? Oh, I was... you don't have to say anything. We know. We don't want to embarrass you. It was sort of a holy roller. They just lay you down, roll you in. And unwrap you out of the bed and take the mattress off you and you've all got all these bed sores all over your body, a witness to your great works. Ooh. How many hearing this? But isn't this also true of the Christian's inward struggles, his corruption? Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Well, don't you have struggles with yourself within? How many had a struggle with yourself within this week? I certainly did, didn't you? "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" But he didn't stay there. He mounts up with eagle's wings and he says, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I heard you on the radio now just now. Well, how about my temper? I can't overcome it. And how about my greed, another one says. And how about my lust? And how about my alcohol? How about my rebellion? And how about my timid way? Or I have tried to overcome my slothfulness, but every time I see a bed, it sort of puts me into a trance. Every time you mention bed, I yawn. Don't swallow your face up. Did you know that's true? You mention bed to some people and they automatically yawn. Want to check out a slug? Talk about bed for about 30 seconds. Pillows, beds, coverings. Pretty soon you'll just see them go into sort of a trance and they won't be around. Sleepwalkers. They'll be gone. Where'd they go? Why, they're lying down somewhere on a couch. Did you ever say that yourself when you're tired and you say, I can hardly wait to get in bed. And you just, oh, it's, you just can't get your shoes off fast enough, but you don't have the energy, and you take, oh, well, how long is it going to take to get these shoes off? Oh, you know, oh, my socks, I hate undressing. And you just jump in bed with half your clothes on, wander over there in a depressed heap and just go plop. Well, that's the way it is with some folks. And that happens to, now, if it's happened to you when you're overtired, there are some people that are overtired all the time. They were born tired. As soon as they were born, they didn't bawl when they spanked them, they yawned. Rubbed their seat. Ooh, well, what was that? Born tired, as tired as a bum is. Huh? You just walk into some of these rooms with these characters sleeping like that and sing that song and just get them up out of that bed. Born tired, as tired as a bum is. Huh? Woke a few folks up in here, my dad. But we have Christ, and He says, ye can do nothing without me. And we then can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I'm going to leave you no excuses. Legalists, you continually fall and you stand in the doorway of salvation by saying, I do all things well. Give up. And then, on the other hand, don't try to say, I'm too timid. No, walk into Canaan land. Don't worry about your red, embarrassed face. Start to pick some fruit and get in some life. Don't get into that spirit that says God has not given us over to the spirit of timidity, but a strong mind. The mind, it says, of Christ. Well, what do you want? You want your own mind? Is your mind driving you crazy? What drives you crazy? Your mind. What is crazy? Your mind. My mind, it's driving me crazy out of my mind, huh? Why don't you give it up? Why don't you allow it to be washed by the water of the Word and know that you're going to have trials just like Paul did, but they're for your own good? They're to get you out of bed. I mean, you can be in bed while you're up working. There's a lot of people that go to their jobs and they're at their job, but they're really in bed. Their heart isn't there. Their heart is in bed. Well, I'll be glad when 4 o'clock comes. I'm just going to go home and sleep. I'll be glad when the weekend comes. I'm going to sleep the whole weekend. I mean the whole weekend. Huh? Don't bother, Dad. He's sleeping. Well, guy told me one time, I don't believe in having two jobs or being in business like you and being gone so much. I want to be home with my family. And you go on over there, the guy's laying there. Huh? The paper's puffing up off his face and he's laying on the couch. Feet that should be wrapped in some kind of a garbage bag. Kind of a witness is that? Huh? To his kids. And then pretty soon you see his kids doing the same thing. Huh? I'd rather have my kids see me going to work every day than hurrying up and getting home and then complaining about their job. And then he said this, and I said that, and I said that's against the rule number 414 of the code of the union code, and I said I ain't going to move that box from there to there because that belongs to the guy that's got the two-wheeler, but not the guy that's got the two-wheeler. The guy that's got the two-wheeler, the guy that's got the 14-inch wheel isn't the same as the guy that's got the 6-inch wheel, and this guy came over with an 8-inch wheel. How stupid can you get? And he moved that box over there. I tell you, what's the world coming to? A bunch of lazy sluggards. That's why you get a lot of fruit and vegetables, if you'll move it yourself. Tons of it. Nobody will move it. You know why? It's against the union code. I can't move. You can have it, but I can't move it. Who in here can move this stuff? Well, they're not here today. No. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's an infraction. You get fractured if you move it. All right, Buster? Doesn't that stink? That stinks especially in Christianity or mission work. That's not my job! Excuse me. I only sweep the floor. I never mop. I only wipe four tables, and then the other person wipes those four tables. Don't you hear a lot of that? Even in the Christian circles, that's not my job. I mean, there could be paper all over. I mean, there could be garbage all over the place. My God, there are so many lazy people. I cannot stand lazy people. I am not a lazy person, and I can't stand lazy people. And they can walk right over this junk, walk right over it. Doesn't bother them a bit. Sometimes they even have to leap. No walk around it. It won't pick it up. That's not my job. Huh? Well, that ain't my job. What am I doing? Some even make a mess. You know, a lot of times you'll be to these things. I went to a church where they had a ladies' affair. Ladies got up, pulled their chairs out, left all their cups and saucers and crumb and their hostess Twinkie cups, cakes glued to the bottoms of their shoes and walked out. Didn't even bother to clean up their own mess. That's not my job. Isn't that the way it is now? We can do all things well. You can pick up that paper. But if you pick it up, you've got to pick it up well. You don't pick it up. Pick it up and don't make a big stink out of it. What does your face look like? Huh? How many are hearing this message today? God, stay through the whole message. Just stay. Stay on. And you know that's the way your whole life is. Stay. Have staying power. And you know when you got staying power, people don't naturally like you. Say amen, somebody. Because you're dedicated to a plan and you're dedicated to a purpose and you're going on and it irritates them. Oh, how I love to irritate people. I love to irritate him into going and getting a job and to doing things and getting busy. And I think Christians, we need to have a definition of what the kingdom of God is. It's having to do all things well. This is not the union, Mr. Jones. This is the union, Mr. Jones. No private rooms for telephones. No mattresses to lay in your special corner. Huh? This is not the union. This is the union with Christ, and everybody's going to be busy and going to be busy all of the time, or they can get out. Say amen, somebody. Well, I believe in giving people their freedom, and I'm talking to you on the radio. Give your people. Let my people go. I think sometimes the devil sings that. Let my people go. Say amen, somebody. Let's get it straight that the definition, radio audience, of a Christian and working in the kingdom of God is actually working in the kingdom of God and telling the truth. And the truth will set you free, the Bible says. I think that we can move over giants once that we just start to say, I can do all things well through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I think we need to get it straight in our minds. We can do nothing by ourselves, but we can make those Jericho walls of indecision, of fear, of depression, of doubt, of complaining. And oh, isn't there a lot of complaining that goes on all the time? Isn't there? Why is everybody always picking on me? Well, Pastor Paul is a picker. I like to pick on people and get them busy and get them to work. Say amen, somebody. And if a preacher doesn't do that, he is faulty. How many heard that? Put your hands up if you heard it. God, let's just be realistic. But I believe we can make those walls of indecision, insecurity, doubt, complaining, depression, fear, all those fall flat as we march around them.